It's Thursday, December 14th, and the bad man is back. Aaron Rodgers has been cleared to return for this weekend's showdown in Carolina. Over to basketball, the Bucks are playing well right now, but some tough teams coming up. We'll see if they make it through to the other side. Baseball, the winter meeting's going on now. That means hot stove season is heating up. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTabWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Keg Podcast episode 265. Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie here with you. Snowy Milwaukee on a Thursday.
Yeah, could be worse.
Could, well, yes. As someone who drove home from Green Bay on Wednesday afternoon, yes, I can tell you it was worse up in the north. So
I actually talked to my dad on the way in here, and they got about three.
Yeah, it was so, not great.
About twice as much as we got here.
But as the snow fell, news broke late last night that Aaron Rodgers will be back this Sunday.
Yes, sir.
So,
a lot to get into here.
My good friend Mitch Pratt told me I have to, Mitch Ross, excuse me. My good friend Mitch Ross told me I have to speed tight tonight. So we're going to stick to a schedule. We're going to at least try to. But always, Mitch, how you doing?
Again, just battling the snow. It's, you got the annoying 1 inch snowfall.
Yeah.
Around here, which to me is like maybe arguably the worst.
Interesting.
Because it's bad enough where the roads are kind of crappy. They're crappy enough where you get accidents, but it's not enough to where like people take it seriously, you know, or, you know, they actually plow the streets or anything like that. God forbid they don't do that when it's less than like three inches or whatever. 4 inches, I guess, is the rule.
Yeah.
But it's just the annoying amount where it just kind of builds up, and it seems to every other day you get an inch.
Yeah, it's
rather than just give me 8 inches right away. And
yeah, you'd like to get 8 inches
right
away,
huh? Right?
Yeah, you don't want those small. Gosh. Yeah, that got you. It's, you set yourself up there.
Very mature. Yeah, starting us off here.
We're off to a wonderful start. So, we'll talk a lot about the Packers, the playoff picture, as well as the Bucks, and then a little bit of Brewers to finish us off. So I guess it's a great thing that we're podcasting Wednesday night through a Thursday show, because we didn't know the Aaron Rodgers news until about 10:30. And really, the fabric of our podcast is we would have taped on Tuesday and there would have been no news, and we would be like, well, maybe, kind of, and then the Buddha broke that night. Yeah. So we would have, you know, and everyone's fired up. And how can you not be, right? You know, Aaron Rodgers is coming back, and everyone has sort of, I guess there is one side, we can go do, if we want to go on the optimistic side about, yeah, run the table 2.0s in full effect, or
like one Nolan Murphy.
They play a extremely hard schedule, and this is going to be quite a challenge, and maybe something that Packer fans are getting lost in the sauce, if you will, a little bit. So yeah. Do you want to go negative first or positive? Where do you want to start? Usually you're a negative guy.
I think you
want to start negative.
I'm not necessarily negative. I'm a realist, and I'm also a hold your horses type of guy.
You are a like, settle down.
Yep.
Settle down. So
naturally that's kind of where I stand. But
so you're ahead of the mind of that this is a, yeah, it's great news, but it's still you're still playing Carolina. It's still Carolina, still on the road.
Still playing Carolina, still on the road. Still a nasty Carolina defense. That has, what's leading the league in sacks?
Charles Johnson is down with a suspension for PEDs. They've been kind of getting flamed by quarterbacks recently. Drew Brees had a nice day with the number one receiver, and then Case Keenum had threw for 280 last week. So they've been kind of struggling. They're kind of leaking that secondary, which was really bad last year, and they kind of fixed it. And you still really can't run on them. That hasn't been a thing all year. So very big challenge for Jamal Williams. But, you know, I think the Packers, I'm kind of excited. I'm excited, obviously, for the Rodgers thing. But I'm mostly excited because I think you're going to see a lot of different shit, because I think this team is completely different compared to the team that Rodgers had when they were in Minnesota. You know, Jordy and Randall.
Yeah, there's more of a running game.
Well, definitely. Yeah, there's more of a running game. And the fact is that Davante Adams is a number one receiver, and he should be still the number one receiver in this offense. Mm-hmm. I all due respect to Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, but these guys should be his sort of two and three.
Yep.
That Devontae still should be the focal point of this offense. I think Jordy's going to get a lot more catches, and you're going to see a massive uptick in production from Jordy, but he was kind of good last year in the slot when they moved him around. And so, you know, that's something there. So, yeah, I think that this is and you're right, the running game too. I mean, Jamal, I think that's really going to help. Now, granted, they're facing two of the toughest run defenses in the league with Carolina and Minnesota. Detroit's not that good, but the first two are pretty tough. So that's going to be a challenge for the Packers.
And Rodgers was playing at an MVP level before he got hurt. So that'll obviously help him ease his way back into that. I think I hope they rely on the run game, assuming Rodgers ultimately does start and play the game. I just think for this week, if he's going to play, you obviously have, you know, he's a decoy, one of the best. So, you know, they're going to respect the pass game, but I think you need to rely a lot heavier on the running game than you would have seen, you know, week four.
As well as the short passing game. You know, correct. I think there's no reason they can't
you just have to be careful.
Yeah, I get that, but at the same time, you don't want to just this isn't white glove treatment. Unfortunately, it's do or die. You lose, you're done. So you have to play with a sense of urgency. You can't just kind of sleepwalk in and expect.
So do you not buy into the big picture at all?
That if he gets hurt again, it's like,
I mean, it's not the end of the world, obviously. If he says, you know, if he breaks his collarbone again, that'd be really shitty.
Well, at some point then you have to wonder, you know, is this something that's just going to be
like a Romo thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of chronic.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think Rodgers, you know, this is kind of a pinhead thing, but they say about learning to fall. Like, obviously I don't know, maybe it's something that he will work on or has, like, thought about already. Sure. About, okay.
And the way he was tackled by Anthony Barr is kind of uncommon.
Thing. Right.
And so he wrapped him up, like, completely.
And I think, like,
and then landed on him.
The most annoying thing that's actually going to take place of this all is going to be the announcers. I'm assuming we're going to get Buck and Aikman. We might get Charles Davis and Kevin Burkhart because the Seahawks and Rams also play on Fox, which is a huge game. So I don't know who we get. But it's going to be annoying to be, like, every time Rodgers get hit, like, oh, got to check on Aaron Rodgers. Oh, Aaron Rodgers took a hit. Like, it's just – it's football. You're going to get hit. You know, it's these are teams who are ready to hit. And that offensive line, you know, Brett Hundley had a ton of protection. The offensive line has been balling. Like, even Jason Spriggs, who was kind of the butt of a lot of jokes at the start of the season.
And I kind of forgot about him, which is for offensive linemen,
right.
It's always
that's
a good
exactly
thing.
It. Like, he's playing right tackle and he's been doing a damn fine job. Like,
when the fan base stops bitching about Jason Spriggs,
the only one,
you know, he's doing his job.
The only one that's been getting a little shit is Jahari Evans. Just it looks like he's sort of that old guy where it's kind of wearing down a little bit, which that happens. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. You know, Luke Kuechly is obviously one of the best, and they have a good team. You know, and that defense is still bad for the Packers. Now, granted, we kind of talked about it last week about Demaryius Randall, and then he shows up again holding Josh Gordon to nothing. He's allowed only 82 yards.
Just the one catch for the touchdown.
Right. And I think he's only allowed 82 yards in the last four games. Like, he's been playing at an unreal level. And then Josh Gordon and him got in on Twitter, and Demaryius Randall said, "You must be on that shit again, bro." And, like, that was pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Is
Randall playing at, like, a Sam Shields level?
I think so. I think he is. I think because he's actually kind of doing what the opposite of what Dom Capers, it's not the soft zone. He's playing he played physical with Josh Gordon. I think he needs to do the same with Devin Funchess. The one thing about Carolina that the Packers can take advantage of is the fact that they don't really have a second receiver. It's Devin Funchess and you're done.
Yeah.
Like, you take away Devin Funchess, then you just have to deal with Christian McCaffrey.
And is Funchess really, he's not even really a true number one receiver?
No, probably not. He's probably more of a two or a three in most systems. He's a good player.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously the screen game has been a bugaboo all year, and you look with a guy like Christian McCaffrey, you could have a huge game.
And getting off the field on third down.
Oh, absolutely.
I believe that was a problem still in Cleveland.
Yeah, there was a lot of miscommunication. There's no, like, Don Capers still deserves to get fired at the end of this year, no matter what happens. Like, this,
he's absolutely has to go.
He does. It's just, it's so damn frustrating to watch them just play these soft-ass zones and just give up.
I mean, people on Sunday were absolutely done with McCarthy.
Well, that's
for three quarters.
And so, yeah, we could talk.
And that's
we could
why
talk
I tweeted
bit.
Out, if you think McCarthy's getting fired today, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Right. And
just,
that,
it just it is what it is. They don't make rash decisions.
Yeah. And real quick on that game, I mean, that was a wild one. Like, I wasn't really panicking yet until the fourth quarter hit and the Packers are dead. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I was like, well, this is the season.
Same here. I was kind of like, you know, it's trouble. It's tough now, but
right.
There's that Packer luck.
Right, exactly. And it's not even luck. I mean, it's just they made big plays when it mattered. Trevor Davis had his first we were in the group chat and I was on Twitter even saying like, yeah, Trevor Davis stinks. Right. No, it's
the luck.
And then Josh Jones played a hell of a game, which is also an encouraging sign. So if Josh
he had a baby.
Did he?
Yes. Well, he didn't. But,
oh yeah.
You know, his
he had a little sex trophy.
Whatever.
Good for him.
Yeah. That's why I missed practice on Wednesday.
So Josh Jones, if he's playing at a high level, I'm sure he's going to want to play hard. I think he's from North Carolina. He went to NC State, so I'm just kind of guessing there. Mm-hmm. He's playing at a good level. So, I mean, the Packers defense, that's the thing. This is why I think Capers needs to go is because guys are having good seasons on that defense. It's just as a whole, the scheme just sucks.
He's from Michigan.
Oh, fuck me. College homecoming for Josh Jones then.
Yep.
So Cam's going to be a problem. Cam's been very good this season. You can't let Cam beat you with the legs. And, you know, he's had some pretty good games against the Packers. I don't think Green Bay's beat Carolina the last two times they've played. I think I'm pretty sure that's right. I don't know.
I could look it up.
Can Packers. You look that up? Yeah, Packers, Carolina. I can't remember. They played at Lambeau, I think. Oh, no, they beat them at Lambeau, I think, like last time they played.
Yeah. 11-8, 2015, they lost at Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I remember that
37-29, then they beat them in 14.
Okay.
38-17 at Lambeau.
Yeah, they kicked their ass at Lambeau. Yeah, they don't usually do well at Bank of America Field.
Excuse me.
Have they won it at Carolina?
At Carolina, they won in 2004, 24-14.
I think that was the game that Favre broke Dan Morgan's leg with a stiff arm. Do you remember that? Dan Morgan, Miami linebacker.
They won in 2011.
Okay.
30-23.
Okay.
Excuse me. And then the last one before that was 20.
That's a tough place to play. Definitely hard. Definitely not going to be easy. And, you know, if the Packers do win, it develops a perfect scenario for them because then Carolina's on the ropes. They still have to play Atlanta at the end of the year. They could really be done a solid if Seattle loses to the Rams. And then.
Yep.
And we'll see. I think the Rams can beat them in Seattle. Do you think so, or do you kind of
the Rams? That game's in Seattle.
Yeah, in Seattle. But Bobby Wagner got hurt in that game. They're already missing all their guys. Like Blake Bortles was passing all over them last weekend.
Yeah, Jacksonville won that game, right?
Yeah. Can we also like? And not to completely go off topic, but like, could Jacksonville make the AFC Championship game?
Maybe. If you get the New England we got Monday night.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, even if they don't see New England, if they're on the other side of the bracket,
sure.
Like the Jags have it.
The Swagwars?
I love the Jags. I'm all in on the Jaguars. I love Jalen Ramsey. I like Blake Bortles. Why not?
I mean, you could see it.
Jagging off.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the AFC is trash. So, I mean, you could, it's really wide open outside of New England. Pittsburgh, probably.
Well, yeah, and kind of adding to, like, the Rodgers stuff, but, like, you know, basically this whole playoffs is wide open.
Yeah.
There is no favorite. The Patriots are good, but there is no favorite.
Right.
There is no – you could literally look at any team in the playoffs right now, and you're like, yeah, they could win the Super Bowl, and you wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. If Pittsburgh wins this weekend, they're in the driver's seat for home field.
But they've had a very terrible record against the Patriots.
Right.
I don't think they've beat the Patriots since 2005 or something like that. No, maybe it was earlier than that, but it's been very,
right.
Very few.
I get it.
And the Steelers have had a horseshoe up their ass for at least the last 4 weeks. I mean, they've pulled so many games. I mean, I get it. But and that defense did not look good at all without Ryan Shazier.
Started with what, the Indy game?
Yeah,
20-17.
Start with the Indy game, then the Packer game, then the what's the one they pulled out before that? I can't remember.
What about the Baltimore game? What happened?
That Baltimore game was wild. I got kicked out of Morgan's house because it went too long. She was too tired. I was like, that's kind of offensive, but mean, you can't like kick me out of for like a great game here. So I heard the end on the radio, but whatever. So yeah, we'll see. Any thoughts on Wentz's injury and just the ramifications there?
Unfortunate for him and my Eagles.
Your Eagles?
Yeah. I've been on the bandwagon all year. Check the tape, Chuck.
Have you seen?
When you're sitting here telling me the Giants were going to make the playoffs.
That's true.
And I was on the Eagles.
That was a mistake. Did you?
I thought of that this weekend.
Have you?
Had a nice little chuckle.
Wow, that's such an undercut. I completely forgot that I did that. But you
even better.
You son of a bitch. You've seen the YouTube video that's been going around with the Jeff Garcia is our quarterback. He's our baby. He's my baby.
No.
You haven't seen that?
I don't think so.
Oh, we should do a live. We should do a live viral video. Can we look it up real quick? I know we're on a tight schedule, but it's a funny video. And Jeff Garcia was on Part of My Take today, and I was thinking of it, and we're talking Eagles, so why not? Jeff Garcia has put baby.
It's right here.
Eric, yeah, this guy. This one? This pinhead.
Larry Cobb after the game.
How do you guys feel about facing New Orleans?
No problem.
Listen. New Orleans beat the Giants. Without a doubt, New Orleans is nothing to us. Just we are the E-A-G-L-E-S-E-R-S. Listen, this is our year. Every other year, we came close, but this year is our year. Jeff Garcia, baby, is our baby. He's our baby. We are going.
Oh, God. I'm glad to know that.
He was going to say, every year we fucked it up on live TV. But then
I'm glad to know that like I'm not the only like drunk that says listen a lot, because it's just good to hear it from somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyways,
I can't believe you finished that drive. Like you could tell I watched that live, and something obviously didn't look right about the hit.
Right. I mean, that was a great football game too.
Sure. And but his face was just beat red.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like you knew something was wrong. And then he came out and headed to the locker room. And, of course, it's a torn ACL.
Yeah.
God forbid.
To lose Wentz.
Never anything else.
You just lose all the stars. I mean, it's just terrible. And Aaron Rodgers has to put a bow on it. And I said this to someone last night. You know, I'm like, well, even if he's, like, only 80% mentally cleared, he looks at it and he says, look, Nick Foles, Case Keenum, Jared Goff are the top three seeds. They're all vulnerable quarterbacks, mm-hmm. especially in a playoff situation. Now, granted, you're 4-7. You have, you know, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Drew Brees. I mean, so you got guys, and it's kind of flipped. But it's totally wide open, and Rodgers knows it. So we shall see. It should be a very interesting 3 weeks. So,
for sure.
I think as a podcast, we want to kind of see it roll. I guess we should give predictions. I have the Packers winning 24-20. It's going to be a nail biter. It is not going to be it's going to be another one that it's going to go down to the wire.
Yeah. I think the bump for Rodgers gets him over the top, you know, coming back. Guys start to play back to their normal cave. Although Clay Matthews has been good.
Clay Matthews has been good.
Silencing the haters.
You bet.
A little bit. But I think some of the other guys, yeah, it kind of just lifts the whole team. I'll take the Packers, too. 27-21.
All right. Awesome. So we're locked in there. So moving on to the other great team in the state of Wisconsin and the city of Milwaukee.
Great. All right.
Well, no, they're playing awesome. I mean, Milwaukee Bucks continue to roll since Jason Kidd said he didn't change the scheme, but he probably changed the defensive scheme.
Yeah. So he told Utah.
I know.
Reporter.
I know that was the best. He told a Utah reporter, but he's hiding it from the local media. Like, what a snake!
Oh yeah,
The guy still sucks. He's kind of like in that Dom Capers category. He still sucks. Like,
oh no,
whatever.
Question.
So yeah, the Bucks have looked great. I mean, they kicked Utah's ass, which was very impressive because the Bucks have struggled the last few years with Utah. Now I know they're not at full strength. Rudy Gobert is not 100% right now, but
I said to friend of the pod Tyler that I would have bet my whole bank account the Bucks would have lost that game against the Jazz.
Well, yeah, and then again, Rick Carlisle outcoaches Kidd for an entire game, but the Bucks kind of win that one on talent.
Yeah, Yeah,
and
definitely.
That was Chris Middleton.
That was a terrible 2.5 quarters.
Right. And Chris Middleton has came to life here in December. It's the December to remember for Chris Middleton.
And I was sitting next to a member of the Dallas organization during that game. I'm not sure who he was, if he was a scout, if he was a low-level assistant coach. He was an older guy. My language was just terrible sitting there in that. And I felt terrible after the, like, I shouldn't. I mean, as the game went on, I was like, I really got to watch it. But I was pissing me off watching that Dallas game. I said to him, I'm like, are you with Dallas? He goes, yeah. I'm like, how are you guys 7-18? This is like in the second quarter. And he's like, because we can't play Milwaukee every night. I was like, apparently not. And then sure enough, the table started to turn finally halfway through the third quarter. I didn't say anything to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he was friendly. He was cordial.
Right.
Like, it wasn't shit-talking.
No. But that's a fair question.
He was sort of joking, you know?
Yeah, and exactly.
I was like, yeah, I guess not.
No, I mean, like...
And Wes Matthews is freaking prime Kobe, and I was about ready to... Oh, my God.
Well, what? You mean future Buck Wes Matthews? That's been a pipe dream for me for
Again,
a long time.
Another guy. They tell me he's not that good, but I wouldn't know it.
Well, the Bucks have actually really struggled against shooting guards this year. That's kind of been the bug.
I wonder why.
It's kind of been the bugaboo. Has been against
Chris Middleton doesn't try on defense for the first three quarters.
It's been an issue, as well as giving up a lot of rebounds. So that's because they have no.
Again, Chris is out of the doghouse for now.
They have no big. Yeah, Chris definitely.
He's an amazing.
Right, and
finally starting to make some shots.
They're playing New Orleans as we tape. It's a shootout.
63-62.
How many does Middleton have?
He has 7.
Oh. Yeah, Giannis was rolling.
Oh, yeah. He's got 21.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah. And Giannis, I mean, that was an out of this world performance against Utah. I mean, he just kicked their ass from the start of that game until the end of it with that dunk on Gobert.
Out at an establishment and see that Giannis and other NBA stars were the lead story on SportsCenter.
Right, yeah, because, yeah, he had that big dunk against Gobert, and, you know,
correct.
The Bucks
that,
are...
That to the untrained eye, people would say, well, you're up 18, that's unsportsmanlike. But I was reading, I haven't had a chance to go look at the tape, but I was reading that Gobert did a similar thing the previous possession down.
Yeah, and plus
it was letting out some frustration, I think, from the last game.
Yeah, and I think Giannis and Gobert just don't like each other, which is fine. I mean, some of those international players, there's a little bit of a rivalry between them,
sure.
Whether it be, you know, an international game that gone awry, mm-hmm. Whatever. The French guys piss people off, too. I mean, Batum hit that guy in the nuts, remember that?
I don't
that?
Know, Lloyd, the French are assholes.
That's very true.
Wish I had that drop, but I don't.
Hey, sometimes you have them, sometimes you don't. That's just how it goes. So we'll see how New Orleans goes. Bucks have kind of a weird, wonky thing where they go home for Chicago tomorrow, and then they go back south to Houston. It doesn't make
home,
any sense. It's like
back home to Cleveland.
It's like, why didn't you just play? Why don't you just play Chicago tonight and then Houston, New Orleans, and Houston on back to back?
Well, I could look it up, but I'm sure the Bulls play tonight. That's probably
they do. They play the Jazz at home. So you got to beat the Bulls on Thursday. There's no
Bulls are back though.
The Bulls have been playing better with Mirotić and Bobby Portis in there. So we'll get a few tweets about
the Bash Brothers, maybe you call them
the Punch Brothers, the 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
We'll get a couple tweets on Friday about how Bobby Portis still should be a Buck because that people are idiots. And then yeah. So,
but we'll Shotty's getting some clock. Now,
hey, so. Shotty had a couple nice moments in that Utah game. But yeah, no, the Bucks. You just do your job. If you could beat New Orleans, great. If you lose, fine. But. Mm-hmm. But you beat the Bulls, and then try to get 1 of 2 against the Rockets and Cleveland. It's going to be really hard. Rockets, do you know? Can you take a guess for me how many points per game the Rockets are averaging this month?
128.
It's a little high. 121.
Really?
They are rolling. Yeah. And I will say they don't really have a guy who can stop Giannis. Like, yeah. They don't have a Giannis stop.
Ryan Anderson ain't going to do much.
Yeah, Trevor Ariza is a decent defender. He does well against LeBron, but there's also that rivalry those two have for some odd reason from high school. So, I mean, no, seriously. But still, Trevor Ariza is probably the guy who's going to go up against Giannis. Ryan Anderson, for sure not. They have a little bit of a rim protector in Clint Capella, but he doesn't play as many minutes. D'Antoni ripped him the other day for his conditioning. But yeah, but then you're like, well,
he doesn't play any minutes because the Rockets are just launching threes. Well, Capella doesn't do that. So,
well, also that, and then also it's like we just mentioned like 5 minutes ago, the Bucks are terrible against shooting guards, and oh yeah, who are they playing?
Right,
James Harden, best shooting guard in the game,
the guy who could be the MVP for every year.
Right, exactly.
We get to watch him flop all over the court for the next, you know, Saturday night.
So,
can't wait.
So James Harden could go off for a solid. Yeah, I mean, great sports night Saturday night. You get the Harden versus the Bucks and the Chargers versus the Chiefs for the AFC West.
Wow.
Yeah, little Sunday, Saturday evening football, Mitch. Mm-hmm. Bears Lions before that. Not that bad. I watch a decent amount of Bears games.
Yeah. Well, Mitch Trubisky apparently is good.
Ten God.
Can't face the Bengals and cost me money.
So, but anyways, yeah, no, it should be a great game. And then obviously it'd be nice for the Bucks.
I'm just kind of at the point with the Bucks where it's like, let's get rid of the bad losses.
Yeah.
And I think everything else should take care of itself.
Absolutely. And you'd like them to beat Cleveland once just to sort of say they can do it. Like they need to see themselves beat Cleveland this year.
Right.
Because I feel like if you don't, then that's going to stick with you in the playoffs if you do run into them that, man, we didn't even beat these guys in the regular season. How can we do it in the playoffs? Right. So, and that Houston one's a really tough mountain because it's 3 games in 4 nights. It's 2 travels. It has all the makings of them getting blown out.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And they don't play well there. That's another thing. So.
Yep, but Bucks going to Bucks. And
you never know. They could lose to the Bulls on Friday and then beat the Rockets on on Saturday. I mean, that's just par for the course.
How about the Celtics resting Kyrie and then getting blown out by the Bulls? And then I see a lot of fans. I follow a couple Celtics. Like, I don't know. There's a lower-level guy that I don't mean to offend him, but I'm just saying lower-level guy that I follow who does. I don't think he works in Boston, but he covers the Celtics. And he was bitching about how they have, I don't know, bitches, pointing out that they have 5 out of 7 or something like that. And, you know, a lot of fans I saw were, you know, commenting on the fact that they have so many back-to-backs. And it's like, shut the hell up. You're 22-6.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're like, resting.
You're going to lose some games here.
And Stevens is resting, guys. I mean, he's resting Horford tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that when you're 22-6.
Right, exactly.
The Bucks are 22-6. I probably wouldn't want Giannis to play Friday against the Bulls.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the truth.
You should be able to beat them.
Right, exactly. The Bulls are a very beatable team. They have nothing there where you're like, wow, they could beat us with what they got.
Right.
It's not, they have nothing. So yeah, and you know, it's the Eric Bledsoe impact keeps happening, and that's great. And so the DeAndre Jordan trade rumors have calmed themselves down a little bit. I don't think they weren't even really rumors, but nothing really like came of it. It was more.
It got hot in the streets there.
It got hot like
last week,
and then Bill Simmons had just terrible trade suggestions. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, just awful.
The Bucks trading Parker and Brogdon.
Yeah, he had Parker going to Chicago at one point. I was like, dude, we're not gonna just.
That was the one that was a little more semi-realistic.
It was, but they're not gonna.
It was like Thon, Telly, and Parker and a 3-team deal.
They're not going to give Parker to the Bulls. They may give Parker to another team, but they're not going to do it to the Bulls. That's just not going to. They're not going to just hand over.
If the Bulls want Parker, they're going to have to pay up this offseason.
Absolutely. Probably. That's exactly correct.
And that's the scary thing.
Well, right. And we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But a team who is in the offseason is the Milwaukee Brewers. And it's winter meetings this week.
Before we get started here, or I should say as a nice intro to the Brewer, did you see Craig Council's story?
About
Garth Brooks?
Yeah.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, check that out.
I forgot what it was, something I kind of missed the beginning part, but he was saying, I think he came back to Arizona or something for spring training, and he was on like a backfield, or he knew he was getting sent to AAA, and he was like 0 for 15, and then Garth Brooks made a diving catch on him. He got his first hit in the spring, and then he got cut the next day or whatever. So
check that out. The Brewers have not made any sort of real moves. The only real Brewer related news, I guess, is that Anthony Swarzak goes to the Mets for a 2-year $14 million deal. I probably would have gave Swarzak that.
Baseball Twitter's losing it about the middle relief price, the market for it right now.
Yeah, the market's really hot, and I think it's kind of too high, but that's how it's trending, right? It's how we saw it. We saw it with other things where it's like, okay, now we have to overpay these guys, and Stearns is obviously, you know, has a deck because it's unfortunate, you know, the two teams you're chasing, the Cubs and the Cardinals. Cubs go out and get Tyler Chatwood, which was a great move. I would like to see the Brewers do that. I mean, Chatwood comes in
at that price,
3 years, $38 million. The guy has deceiving numbers because he was really bad at Coors Field, but he was really good anywhere
else. Plus that three-year deal, the Brewers' nightmare contracts have always been 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. And then
so they get you out a year sooner.
And then the goddamn Cardinals got Marcelo Ozuna, who's killed the Brewers.
All right, the Brewers can now get Christian Yelich.
I would love Christian Yelich.
Oh God, he's amazing.
Yes, yes. That's a great point,
that
Mitch.
That dude's an automatic like 330.
That's a hell of a point. A great point. Seriously.
It'll never happen, but
no, why wouldn't it? Okay, so that's a guy, and we can talk about Domingo Santana now.
No, I would.
That's
oh,
a guy,
heartbeat.
Yes. That's a guy you
we'd
trade.
We'd have to give him more than that.
Oh, yeah. But the Marlins are just taking on just terrible prospects. They're not even asking for, like, the high-level guys. So I have to think Stearns maybe.
Isn't it something where Jeter wants to get the payroll down?
Yeah, he's a cheap ass. I don't know why the MLB let Jeter take over that team. Jeter had no money.
That's because ownership might have been worse.
Right, but this is a complete con by Derek Jeter. It is an absolute con job. And the media is just letting it slip because they don't want to say a bad word about Derek Jeter because he's untouchable.
Yeah,
but he has no money. He then doesn't even show up to winter meetings. Like, what are you doing? And like the Giancarlo going to the Yankees, whatever. That's fine. But they want to be the Bash Brothers. Okay.
Yeah, great.
He's had injuries. Aaron Judge strikes out more than I did when I was 21. you know, it's like, fine, whatever. But fuck Derek Jeter. I just had to get that off my chest. So now that I'm back.
Absolute worst.
Now I'm back. Yes. We'll see what happens.
Absolute worst.
You might as well go out for Christian Yelich. You might as well ask.
Might as well.
You might as well look and see, who did the Marlins have? You know, yeah, Yelich, that'd be a nice pick. Brewers have been sniffing around at second baseman. Jed Lowry, that wouldn't be bad. Ian Kinsler, another guy. Yeah, a little old.
I prefer the switch bat.
Yeah, and Ian Kinsler is like the classic guy that the media will love and fillate, even though he hits 215 because he always gives sound clips and he's kind of like a Captain America type.
I'm sure that's what Jed Lowry is, too.
Nah, Jed Lowry's all right. I had some nice Jed Lowry days.
I'm sure he's a media darling. I'm sure he's a fan favorite.
Yeah, his name's Jed. So we'll see. You know, Ken Rosenthal threw out the Chris Archer nibble. Said, well, you know, Matt Arnold. You know, Chris Archer, Matt Arnold connection.
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Marcus Stroman liked the tweet about adding Marcus Stroman to the list of players the Brewers should look at. Don't hate that idea one bit.
No, not at all.
Those are a couple names. I mean,
that's the thing is these guys are going after controllable talent,
right? And
which Marcus Stroman, I assume, is because he's only been in the league for three or 4 years.
So
I'm sure he's got a couple years of team control.
So circling it back to Domingo Santana, people are like, well, the Brewers you'd have to give up a lot to get Domingo Santana from a team. And I love Domingo Santana. We were big Domingo Santana guys on this podcast, but there is an odd man out situation here, and he's a little older and. If you're going to get a top line pitcher for him, that's important because it seems like Jimmy Nelson will not be back till June or July.
Okay.
That's kind of the vibe I'm getting. They're not telling anything, but that seems to be sort of the vibe, right? That the team's giving off, right? About like, here's where it's headed. That Jimmy's the only guy, I guess, with injury problems, according to Stearns. He had that today, but you know, we'll see. It's a long off season, so it's one where, as much as you want to get fired up that the Cardinals are making moves and the Cubs are making moves, why haven't the Brewers done anything yet?
Well, and we've said it before, and you're probably going here too with this, is that we can trust Stearns. I think at this point,
absolutely,
nothing to suggest that we shouldn't. Everything he's done is turned to gold, basically.
Right, and you know the Chase Anderson deal. There's all sorts of different deals he's made just throughout the years where it's just very, very sort of sneaky, and he's just waiting for his moment. He's kind of like a cobra. He's waiting for the right thing to kind of fall. Hey, the Dodgers really
very Ted Thompson-ish.
Yes, the Dodgers haven't really made a move yet. I don't think anyone's jumping down his throat, but I think you'll start hearing that rumble. With now the Ozuna deal to the Cardinals. Yeah, but Ozuna is a really good hitter, and if the Cardinals get Josh Donaldson too, I'll be quite mad. So
yeah, I mean that's what the Cardinals are missing, whereas a middle of the order type of guy.
Right. And they're, I'd rather them get Evan Longoria than get Josh Donaldson.
The Brewers could use a third baseman.
No.
I'm fine. Shaw at first.
Oh.
That's where he's going to project in a couple of years.
You could sell me on getting Josh Donaldson. I don't really like Evan Longoria.
God bless him, but
yeah,
trade him for a bag of balls at that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Or
did you
hide him in the outfield?
Did you see that Travis Shaw is getting a Mayor of Ding Dong City bobblehead?
I did not. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports was saying I might have to go to the game, and then I was kind of trying to get just the whole Barstool crew there because I had tweeted at John Feidelberg last week because he's saying how they were bitching. They were at the Atlanta airport on a Sunday. And we're complaining that Atlanta doesn't sell booze on Sunday. And I was like, hey, come to Milwaukee. We have booze everywhere.
Yeah.
And they were saying there needs to be more places like this. And so I'm like, hey, let's get the whole Barstool crew down. I mean, might as well, right? Mets are in town too. So
really?
Yeah.
That's half the Barstool.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Right, that's what I'm saying.
Who are the Mets guys? KFC, just Clem.
Clem and Super Producer BC.
Plus Frankie Fleming.
Oh, yeah, and Frank. But Frank, think Frank would travel.
No.
Frank's probably not traveling. So.
Yeah, I'll leave it there.
Yeah. Where are we on time?
Oh, we're good, 36.
Oh, so I can brag about Marquette kicking Wisconsin's ass?
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah, I might as well. That was a great win. You know, I think Marquette probably played as good as they've shown in a long time. You know. Wisconsin was a wounded animal, but it still had to take care of business and win that game, and they definitely did that. Marcus Howard, Andrew Rousey, and Sam Hauser, the Trey Amigos, as it's been called, which I love. And now they get Harry Froehling, a 6'10 big man.
Who the hell's that?
6'10 big man from Australia, Mitch, who is a transfer from SMU.
Harry. You're a wizard,
Harry. Harry, you're a wizard. God, I'm gonna do that all fucking winter. That's
You're
gonna be
a wizard,
fun.
Harry.
So I don't know what they're going to do with their rotation. I'd be more nervous if their coach was Jason Kidd. But Matt Held's been giving them good minutes and kind of held down Ethan Happ. So I guess Harry comes off the bench. But then Theo John, Marquette's been playing with an eight-guy bench. So I don't know how that changes. But, yeah, Marquette's.
Eight-man rotation? Or
eight-man rotation. Eight-man bench. I screwed up. Okay. All right. I screwed up. So, yes. Marquette's looking good. We'll see. Big East play starts a couple weeks. I don't know what.
How wild is it that Big Ten play is already like.
It's because they're so thirsty. They needed to go play at Madison Square Garden. And Big East said, you're going to play the week beforehand and you're going to like it.
Right.
So then, that's why.
But the Badgers are playing Western Kentucky as we record. So.
They were leading. But, man, that team is quite a mess. And we'll see how Badger fans take it because I'm sure that's a topic for January. Okay,
There's a sect that need Greg Gard fired.
I haven't talked with Mitch about this yet, but we have Nolan Murphy in town on Thursday. We may do a special podcast on Thursday, not in studio. So maybe a little different thing.
All right.
So maybe look for that. We'll talk. Me and Mitch will talk about it. We'll get the details next week. All right, Tappers, we'll talk to you next week. We'll do a holiday edition, Snow Tap Christmas Party. Get fired up.
The bad man is back.
And not only one bad man, two bad men. That's bad men. Okay, I got to go. See ya.